From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Now, I was in the delivery room, and I tell you, when that thing, when my kid came out, I looked at that, and that was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. The head was misshaped, you know, it's kind of oblong. My dear wife, she's so sweet. Oh, let me, I said, honey, you don't want to see this. She said, what's wrong? I said, his head is funny. I said, oh, don't worry, God has a purpose for this. If he doesn't round out, we'll get him a job on Star Trek. It's no problem.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
It's not always a pretty sight when something new is created. But today, Pastor Wayne will show us how God can take something that is full of darkness and chaos and turn it into something spectacular. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, New Beginnings.
What we're going to find here is that beginnings don't always come in neat, pristine, well-packaged wrappings. Sometimes it comes in chaos and void. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, how the Bible begins as God takes something and brings new beginnings. Let's read it from the start. Ready? Go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Beginnings can be messy. You look at any beginning, the beginning of building a house. It starts with foundations. It's dirty. It's messy. It's sweaty. It's stuff you build underground. And it is just something that takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And it comes with a lot of grime. This very church, when we began this church, our first service, we believed God for 400 people. We set up 400 chairs. 720 showed up. It was total chaos, formless and void. 320 people were standing for 2 hours. The Portuguese preacher went long. And 2 hours, they stood there. Well, the next week, I preached them down to about 500. But still, 120 standing. It was just completely chaotic. People even come now to New Hope, and they say, I don't want to come back to church. I say, why? They say, well, to tell you the truth, I don't like organized religion. And I said, you'll love New Hope. We're not organized at all. Come on. But I think the messiest of all is when my kids came into the world. I would rather just buy kids from Safeway. It'd be a lot easier. It's cleaner, neater. You might even get discounts. And I thought, you know, that's the best. But they tried to warn me that it would be messy at the Lamaze class. How many of you have taken Lamaze? Raise your hand. Uh-huh. Yeah. They show you this uncut, unedited version of horror films of live births. They run that through you for about 4 or 5 times you're there until they're just trying to warn you. And sure enough, now I was in the delivery room. And you know what? When you hear people say, oh, little children, newborns are so pristine, so cute. That's mothers saying that. I was on the other end, the receiving end. And I tell you, when that thing, when my kid came out, I looked at that, and that was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. It looked like an albino prune. And you know, the head was misshaped. You know, it's kind of oblong, because you would too if you just came through a keyhole, and it's just kind of oblong. And I thought, oh, this is my kid, you know? My dear wife, she's so sweet. Oh, let me, I said, honey, you don't want to see this. She said, what's wrong? I said, his head is funny. She said, oh, that's with all babies. I said, oh, don't worry, God has a purpose for this. If he doesn't round out, we'll get him a job on Star Trek. It's no problem. My wife didn't like that at all. But it's a messy beginning. I mean, it was difficult. It was painful, messy, horrifying, and long. It took a long time. It was just the most painful thing. I know it was hard for my wife as well, but I think the greatest example of this was the beginning of creation. The Bible says it was formless and void and just darkness. There are going to be times in our days, in our lives, where we're going to have that same kind of situation. Seasons that'll seem formless and void. And we not knowing how long it's going to continue. We don't know how long in Genesis 1 that it was actually like that. Could have been for millions of years. We don't know that it was formless and void and darkness was there. But I was thinking, you know, God, you put that there because I bet in applicational form, we all have those times. Not knowing how long a season would continue where it's just chaos. It's just discouraging. It's just like endless dark. We were in Hilo about 10 years, and we just fell in love with the people. They were just settling in, and all of a sudden, just something began to stir in me, like I didn't belong. And what God was doing, He was actually uprooting me to plant me somewhere else. But I didn't want to go, and it was just a time in my life where it just got very discouraging, very depressing, and I tried to figure out what was going on, and all I did was stir up the mud on the bottom. The silt started to come to the surface, and it just muddied everything up even more. You know, I was so discouraged and disheartened, and nothing was really going wrong necessarily. I was just dying on the inside. It was formless and void, and I didn't know how long it was going to continue. It was so bad that I thought I was having an emotional breakdown. And I asked the board there for time off, and I just went home and just worked in the garden with my hands, just crying out to God. I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know how to get out of it. I had never felt so far away from God. And you add to that, my marriage was a little rocky at that time. There are some things going on, and I was struggling there. I mean, we're really fine now, my wife, since she's been open to therapy. And by the way, if you know anything about my wife, you know I'm lying, you know, because she's the sweetest thing in the world. And so when I say those things, everybody goes, yeah, right, you lie. You know, I tell people, you know where liars go? They say, where? I said, New Hope. And so... Where else should they be except in church? So I remember just staying at home, just crying out to God. And I was thinking, Lord, when will these birth pangs go away? And you know, all of us will go through these seasons of birth pangs. You'll go through them several times in your life. Mark my words. You'll feel like everything is collapsing in on you. You'll feel formless and void. It may have been inaugurated by a setback. Incited by a wayward child, ignited by a loss of a loved one, or a marital collapse, or a problem you're going through, a financial struggle, or you may have made 2, 3, 4 mistakes in a series, in a row, and people seem like they're excommunicating you from relationships, and there's just this void around you. But I want you to see with me in today's message the most precious good news of all. When I saw what God had for me in this, my faith actually doubled. And here it is. Now listen, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Here's the good news. Even though it seems there are times in your life where it's just darkness and chaos, I want you to always remember this. The Spirit of God is hovering just above the waters. Even though it seems like it's just chaos and everything is going down the tubes and it's dark and it's midnight and you don't know how long it is, entwined in the darkness, intertwined in the chaos, the Spirit of God is moving just above the waters. Waiting for just one word from God, let there be light, bang, and He springs into action. What great news that is, when I thought God had abandoned me. But you say, but what if I can't see God? Because there's a lot of times I don't see His hand. I don't see His presence. It seems like He's just absent. God reminds us of a promise in the book of Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord God who brought you up from the land of Egypt is with you. Would you underline that? He is with you. God is always present. Even when you can only see horses and chariots and people too numerous for you, in other words, when the circumstances are overriding you, and all you see are the negatives and the stuff coming against you, God says, don't worry, I'm there, just hovering just above the waters. The full power of God, the full ability of God, all of the strength of heaven is hovering just above the waters. And then I begin to understand how God wants to cooperate with us in dispelling darkness. How? Would you write this scripture down? Ezekiel 22:30. Check this out. God is speaking and he says this. I looked for a man among whom, who would be before me to stand in the gap. I looked for a man to stand in the gap on behalf of the land so that it would not be destroyed, but I could find no one. You know what God is saying? I'm ready. My light is present, but I could find no reflective surface that would stand in the gap to dispel darkness. There was no one who would stand in the gap. Then I began to understand that God and His Spirit are ready to dispel darkness. And then God speaks to us and says, are you ready? Will you be people who will cry out to me? You know, God has put us in this privileged position to partner with Him. That in tandem with the Lord, as we cry out to God, remember, God, just one word and the Spirit of God moves. And you know what? God might just very well be waiting for us to cry out to Him. And He then speaks. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God moves and dispels darkness. In fact, would you write number two? This is what God wants to understand. He wants us to understand the power of prayer. Understand the power of prayer. You see, often when I encounter seasons of darkness, you know what I do? I bail out. I don't stand in the gap. We wonder why it gets dark. Relationships don't go well. I bail out. And the Lord is not looking for people to bail out. He's looking for people who will stand in. People who will not run away, but run to Him. And be men who will stand in the gap. Women who will stand in the gap. Because then His light reflects and dispels darkness. And we tandem, we partner together in dispelling darkness. Did you know that God collects our prayers and that our prayers are dear to Him? Our prayers are not just wasted words. He holds those prayers dear. Let's read in the book of Revelation as He speaks in figurative language, but watch what the prayers of the saints are. Let's read it together. Go. The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Underline that. What is he saying? It's like bowls of incense before God. It's the prayer of the saints. God collects the prayers of the saints. Would you write in that bullet? God keeps track of our prayers. God keeps track of our prayers. It's not just wasted words. They're not just words into thin air. God is collecting, as it were, like incense, our prayers. Why does He collect them? Well, because God is hearing us. But often, we're not ready to commit. Often, we just pray once, and if God doesn't answer, we bail out. You know what God is saying? You keep praying. Not only is it for me to hear you, but it's for your heart to hear what your commitment is. How often I say, well, God, yeah, do this. No, He doesn't. Okay, I'm out of here. I really didn't pray. Prayer is me crying out to God and standing in the gap. And when God sees that my heart is committed, He adds His voice, let there be light. And the Spirit of God moves with immediacy into action. So God is waiting on me as I cry to Him as a person who chooses to stand in the gap. And I'm committed to that. Then He speaks. The Spirit of God moves into action. And that which was a dead end turns into a new beginning. Our prayers are powerful. I want you to see that with me in this next verse. Would you read it with me? Again, out of Revelation. Ready? Go. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. You see, what God is saying is He takes the prayers of the saints, He adds something of His involvement to it. It says something of the fire of the altar. And the power of that is it drives back the enemy. Peals of thunder and earthquake and lightning. What he's saying is something impacting takes place when we take our prayers or our commitment to stand in the gap, his involvement, the Spirit of God moves to dispel darkness. Now, what is this fire of the altar? We don't know, except the fact that in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 6, it says that Isaiah is speaking, and he says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he speaks about the majesty of God. And then he realizes what a wicked man he is, and he says, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And the Bible says that God then took something off of a fire off the altar and touched his lips and cleansed him. Now, all we know is, we don't know what that is. All we know is that it's something of God's involvement, something of God's power, his mercy, his grace, added to our inabilities will cause something wonderful to happen. But it's a partnership of someone committed and open to be used by God. And then in Revelation, he says, I'll take the prayers of the saints and I'll mix it with my involvement and watch what happens then. The Spirit of God moves into action. You see, there's going to be times in your life and mine when it'll seem very dark, chaotic, and maybe like a dead end. And we'll have a tendency to bail out. But God is saying, if you bail out, that's why there's darkness. There's no reflective surfaces. But I'm looking for someone who will stand in the gap. And then we'll partner together. And I'll take your prayers of commitment, add something of my involvement. And the Spirit of God is just waiting for a word from God to move into action. If you can think of the Spirit of God hovering just above the waters, waiting to do God's bidding, if you'll just think of the Spirit of God this way, the Spirit of God is now, it's a person of the Lord himself, but think of it this way. The Spirit of God is like all the power of God, all the strength of his majesty, all the ability of God, all of his strength. It's there in that situation, even though it looks dark and chaotic. All the power, all the strength, all the ability of God is there on pause. And all God has to do is hit pause and bang, something happens. The Spirit of God is God, but like he's on pause, just waiting for God's bidding. Everything of God's power is there. And when I cry out to God, he adds something of his involvement and then he dispels the enemy. Even in the darkest of nights, I want you to know that our prayers are powerful. Would you write that in? Our prayers are powerful. Sometimes we think we're waiting on God. Maybe God's just waiting on us because he wants to do it in tandem with us in a relationship. Beginnings. When it seems darkest, you know what? It may just be the start of a new beginning. I see it as chaos and dark, but I want you to know that God uses dark times and dark moments and chaotic moments to help us to get some things clear about where we are and who we are in his will. And he allows that darkness to shake us up a little bit so that there can be a new beginning. He doesn't want just second verse to be the same as the first. He wants us to see that there's a new beginning, and new beginnings will happen in your life again and again and again. If we don't know the ways of God, though, you'll see it as a dead end and you'll bail out. But you know what God is saying? No. It's a new beginning. If you'll understand the ways of God. I think of the times in my life where I thought it was a dead end. It really started as a new beginning. I remember when I was going to seminary, studying to be a priest, and I got kicked out. I remember the day I got kicked out. I was sitting in the vicar's office. That's the big guy. And he looked at me and said, Wayne, we're expelling you today. And this is what he said. I'm writing your name down and you can never return here again. Boy, that hit me. I was like a knife going through my heart. I'm writing your name down and you can never come here again. It was like that moment was in suspended animation and it's imprinted onto my soul. I can remember the wooden chair I was sitting in. I remember where he was with his cassock and his little Roman collar, looking down over his eyeballs like this at me. I can tell you exactly what the room looked like. It was like it was imprinted on me. It was just that horrifying. I thought my life had ended. That was it. I was excommunicated, you know, almost. But you know, within 2 years, I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it was really the start of a new beginning. If that hadn't happened, I'd be a priest somewhere in a cathedral. Do you know how bad of a priest I would be? But I look at it, and what I thought was a dead end was really a new beginning. I remember when I was in college, I was studying to be, I was going to buy and trade corporations, because I thought, you know, if you buy and sell a house, you might make a few $1,000s for the realtor's fee. But if I would buy and sell like Sony Corporation or Disney or, you know, Mercedes-Benz or Daimler or Chrysler, I'd make quite a bit more. You know, you sell it for $1.2 billion. My take is about $50 million. You know, I do that once a month. It's not bad. That's not bad. So I was actually studying to do trading, buying and selling corporations. So when I received the Lord and became a Christian, I thought, you know, I'd go to some big college. But instead, the Lord moved me by his hand to a little no-name college in Eugene, Oregon, called Eugene Bible College. And I thought, what is this, Lord? And it was 275 students. I thought, come on, this is horrible. I thought my life had come to an end. I thought, this is it. I'm finished. This is it. What a dark night. But it was there at that little Bible college that I met this little cute howly girl. And for 3 years, she stalked me. And then I let her find me. But, you know, I look back on it now and I thank the Lord for that. What I thought was a dead end, chaos, void, empty, really was the start of a new beginning. And I look back on it now and I'm so thankful. You see, there's going to come times in your life and mine again and again and again, whether it be again ignited by some marital problem or a setback or a loved one that died or whatever it might be. And you'll go into this time where it seems chaotic and void. It may very well be a new beginning. Now, you can call it a dead end by dropping out. You can make it an ending by bailing out. But I want you to see with me, just like birth, just like children, would you write in number 3, God is able to turn birth pangs into birthdays? Because you see, in the delivery table, it was birth pangs. But you know, it turned out to be my daughter's and my son's birthdays. So today, we don't celebrate like Aaron's 22nd birth pang. No, we celebrate birthdays. Was there birth pangs with it? Yes. But it depends what you focus on. You can call it, oh, this is my birth pang day. No. This is my birthday. And it's like that in life. What are you going to focus on? If you bail out of some times where birth pangs are, then you're going to see that it's like a dead end. But God is saying, I can turn birth pangs into birthdays. Huh? Yep. I can turn an ending into a beginning. What? That's right. If you thought it was an ending, watch. If you understand my ways and you cry out to me and you stand in the gap, you understand now the Spirit of God is hovering just above the waters, even though you can't see him. Don't bail out on him. He's ready. Just one word from me, and we begin to move. If you'll understand the ways of God, and we'll do it together, I will turn dead ends into new beginnings. How do you do that? Let's read the scripture. Here's great news. Watch this. Read it. Ready? Go. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the... God is the Alpha and the what? Omega. He's the Omega and the Alpha. God is the first and the... God is the last as well as the? God is the beginning and the end. God is the end, but he also is the? When God is present, when you think it's the end, he says, if you want it to be, it can be the beginning, because I'm the beginning and the end. It doesn't matter to me. What do you want it to be? You see, he's the beginning and the end, and it's an issue of my faith, whether it comes to an end or a beginning. If I bail out and I say, God, you can't do it because you're absent, the Lord is saying, my spirit has been hovering just above the water. All the power of heaven is there on pause. I'm waiting for your cry. And we'll work together. And something of the involvement of God is mixed with the prayers of the saints. And I speak, let there be light. And bang, immediately the Spirit of God moves into action, begins to dispel darkness. Will you stand in the gap? But it's an end. No, I'm the beginning and the end. You choose. Because I can turn an end into a new beginning. That'll happen much in your life. And when you come to those seasons, would you remember how God opens up the whole Bible? He opens it up with good news that he is the beginning and the end. Know the ways of God and watch Him. When you thought it was done, He'll turn that which was ending into a new beginning.
You've just heard a message entitled New Beginnings by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.